living on the road, my friend.
Yeah, welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour. Coming up Monday on the program, Congressman Gary Palmer confirmed for the program from Alabama's 6th Congressional District. And we have, I don't know why we keep inviting this guy on, but we do. Dale Jackson from WVNN will be with us, and then probably some guests to be named later. Want to find out who is going to be on the show every morning before the program, maybe an hour or so. I post a guest list up on Twitter, twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. Also now on Parler at Jeff Poor, _, just Jeff Poor. And then it's on Facebook. Just search my name. Anyway, that's how you can find out who's going to be on the program if you are so interested. Right now, time to go to our usual Friday guest. Always very grateful he has time for us every week. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
I am doing great, live from beautiful downtown Moulton, Alabama.
Oh, Moulton, you up there? See my friend Pronsie Robertson, and up in Lawrence County.
We are. We're in Lawrence County and across from the courthouse right now, up here with the Agriculture and Forestry Committee from the Senate, looking at a couple of different things that are going on in Lawrence County, and just a beautiful day to be up here looking around the state.
That's my old stopping grounds. I had a lot of listeners up there when in my WVNN days. Let's get right into it. First off, shakeup, I guess, pardoned and paroles. Cam Ward leaving your body to go work there. My personal take, it seems like a pretty decent fit. What do you make of that?
I think so. I mean, when you start talking about folks that understand the criminal justice system in Alabama, there are very few people and even fewer legislators that understand it as well as Senator Ward does and really has had as much experience with it over an 18-year career in the legislature, really working from a variety of different angles at criminal justice reform, but the prison problem, pardons and paroles issues. He is probably the best suited pick you could come up with for that spot.
Yeah, there'll be some shakeups down the line. Do you have any feeling on there'll be obviously an open Senate seat? I hear April Weaver's name a lot, and then I guess there's a chairmanship going to be open as well.
That's correct. Senator Ward was is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, very important and influential committee in the Senate, and I am sure that that will cause some folks to be interested in that spot once he vacates it. And then some other committee spots, down the line. Again, Senator Ward's been in the legislature for 18 years. He held some pretty choice committee assignments. And I think that, those will get handed out and go to deserving members. So there's a little bit of that, kind of looking around going on right now.
The jockeying, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how that plays up. Now, look, I know you're sometimes a critic of Governor Ivey, but and there was a lot of fear coming out of the election, and my listeners kind of maybe disagree, but if it's Joe Biden, President-elect Joe Biden, and then ultimately President Joe Biden on January 20th here in 2 months, there's fear out there that we could be looking at another shutdown, but gestures from Governor Ivey and from the BCA, it looks like they are going to fight any effort to shut down the economy again.
Well, and I'm glad that that's the case. I was fortunate to serve on the Lieutenant Governor's Small Business Emergency Task Force for reopening Alabama. And we looked at the very hard decisions that had been made by the Ivey administration to shut down an awful lot of businesses across Alabama, and frankly, I think unfairly. I am glad that many in that administration have apparently kind of seen the error in their ways there and have made a determination they don't want to go back down that path. I don't want to get accused of Monday morning quarterbacking again, so I will say that
better not.
That's right. I will say that I think the governor made the best decision she could with the information she had at the time. But listen, Mark, good leadership, in my opinion, is learning from your mistakes. And I think that's what's going on here. And really should go on nationwide. Shutting small businesses down did not help with the COVID issue and the spread of COVID. All it did was bloody our economy. and we will be recovering from it for years and years and years. It's not the right way to go from a public policy standpoint. I'm really glad to see BCA, the Business Council of Alabama, taking a leadership role in that, and I'm glad that the governor is taking a hard line on businesses and making sure we're going to keep things open and keep our economy open.
Yeah, because I think those few days after the election, when it started hearing the words President-elect Joe Biden mentioned, there was a little uncertainty about what direction the state would go if, you know, this coronavirus task force is successful in trying to impose some kind of federally mandated shutdown. But in this circumstance, it seems like the governor's on the right track.
I would agree with that. And as you correctly point out, you know, it's the states that make those decisions, and the power rests with the state, not with the federal government. And that will be interesting to see if that's something that that Joe Biden realizes if he is sworn into office or not. Because, you know, trying to push Alabamians around generally does not work very well for the federal government.
No, well, just how much are they going to fight? But it sounds like has some allies in some of these other states. They don't want to see a shutdown either. Let's move on to something that's been brought up on this show a little bit, and I think it's caused a little bit of a stir. We had Phil Williams, the Alabama Policy Institute fellow, now former state legislator. His argument is, well, why isn't the legislature in the game right now with all of these decisions being made at the executive level and what's going on in you know, prisons and executive authority with COVID-19, that he doesn't, to his satisfaction, not seeing a response from the Alabama legislature or anyone really speaking out. Then we had Andrew Sorrell, who's, by the way, up that way, a legislator, come on and say he sees it the same way. That no, and then, you know, I've heard, well, there's COVID. That's made some people a little reluctant to want to get back. But is it time for the legislature to be a little more active even before we head into the February regular session?
Well, first of all, I will say that I think, you know, Phil's criticism is pretty fair, frankly. The majority of the legislators have not been clamoring to get back into session. We're, in my opinion, all too eager to get out of session early, earlier this year, when COVID descended upon us. There have been some folks, and I like to think I've been one of them, that have been fairly vocal on the fact that we need to get back and that there are a number of issues that need to be taken up quickly. And you've enumerated some of them already. And, you know, unfortunately, the Constitution lays out and prescribes when the legislature comes into session, and failing, you know, that time period coming up, it's up to the governor to call the legislature back into a special session, and she has not done that, and has seen fit instead to kind of proceed on her own. I'm ready to go back to work. I think it is indefensible to tell our children to go back to school, to tell our employees to come back to work, and for the legislature simply to not do that. Now, is it fair to say that there are some members of the legislature that have underlying health conditions or may be elderly, and may be therefore at a higher risk? Absolutely. But that's the case as well with teachers. That's the case with our employees as well. And I just think it's a double standard, frankly. And I think we need to get back and get to addressing these issues as quickly as possible and as safely as possible. But let's get back to work.
How much do you think that's a cop-out here that is being used? The governor would just prefer the legislature stay in the background, not really be engaged in any of this. How much do you think that's a, you know, that's being said, but in reality, we don't really need the legislature interfering with what's going on. We're on a good, they like where they're going with COVID response. They like where they're going with the prison leases. And there's other things. We got a task force on gambling. Got to release a report soon. There's all these different balls in motion, and having the legislature back in Montgomery, well, that may be just a little more than the system needs right now.
Well, one thing I have learned in my short time in Montgomery is that it's a bubble. And if you stay in Montgomery and you are not out and amongst the real working people of the state of Alabama, things just look different. One of the jobs of the Alabama legislature is to represent the people of this state in communities all across this state, from Baldwin County to Lawrence County and everywhere in between. That's hard to do if you're just sitting in Montgomery making decisions. And I can assure you that you know, the reason our Constitution is set up the way it is, with checks and balances and separations of power, is so that the people's voice is heard. And that's simply not happening when the legislature's not there. It's certainly not happening as well. And that is, in my mind, the underlying reason we need to get back.
How much validity do you think there is to this this rumor? Senator Williams mentioned it on air the other day that you guys in February will gavel in, and it'll be sort of like what had happened in this last session, where you don't really get down to business until April or May.
I heard that, and I was interested in that. I would imagine that rumor may be coming out of the House more so than the Senate. You'll recall when we left with an awful lot of things on the floor, on the special order calendar, ready to be debated, ready to be passed, you know, including, you know, my bill that dealt with taxation of COVID relief money and stimulus money and the PPP loan. All of that was teed up and ready to go. But the House wanted to adjourn. The House didn't want to take those things up. I think the Alabama Senate, and that's really all I can speak to, is ready to go back to work, is not going to come back in February and then adjourn immediately to come back in the summer sometime. I think they're going to be ready to get to work and get to work on some of the unfinished business that we had teed up and ready to go. I just hope we've got a lower House that is ready to deal with some of this legislation when we send it down to them.
Well, I mean, is it possible? I mean, there are two independent bodies that the lower chamber would do that, and the upper chamber, you guys that are, you know, let's say that maybe you don't have the logistical problems because there's not as many of you, but also you seem to kind of march the beat of a different drum than the House. At least that was the case in this previous session, that it could happen, that they would, you know, maybe take a walk.
I certainly hope not. Again, I think we left a lot of issues on the table that could have been dealt with. You know, you had Representative Witt on earlier in the week, and, you know, it just kind of made me kind of shake my head going, listen, this bill was teed up. It was ready to go. The House wouldn't take it up. It wasn't interested in it. I don't want to create any friction between the two bodies, but I hope that my House members will decide that, hey, it's time to go back to work. Yeah, they're a little bit more congested or tight, you know, down there, but man, so are our kids in school. I mean, they're not any tighter than that. And if you've got somebody, again, who has an underlying health condition or is overly susceptible to seeing some really bad effects from a COVID infection, then stay home. That's okay. But don't hold the rest of the state back, you know, just because you can't be there.
Well, tell me this, should there be restrictions in place? You know, I've been in that building many times in the State House during session, and it's full of people. You got lobbyists, you got the scummy earth reporters like myself, you got school kids. I mean, like, how much foot traffic should there be if you do gavel in a special session, or be it in the regular session in February?
I think a lot of that will be self-limiting. I do think that the legislature is behind at televising and live streaming committee meetings and things of that nature. We do a decent job of it where we're actually in session, but, you know, as you well know, most of the real work happens in committee rooms and hearing rooms. We have made strides there. We've got a long way to go, frankly. But I think that a good open government nowadays doesn't just mean having your door open. It means being, you know, live and recorded on the internet where people can see their government working, whether they're in the State House or not. And I think that as we make strides in that direction, the likelihood that we're able to conduct business with fewer people in the State House, but with more transparency than we've ever had before, is probably pretty good. And I think that's probably what you'll see moving forward.
Senator, we've got to leave it there, but you've been very gracious with your time. Give my best to my friends up in Lawrence County, if you would.
I will do it, sir. Thanks for having me on. Have a great weekend.
That was State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen. Always a pleasure to have him on. Always gives us some good sound bites, for sure. But up in Lawrence County, our usual Friday guest, you get to hear about this time every Friday if you're a new listener to the program. Going to get another break in here. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Living their lives, waking and baking every morning at 8. Make it to work, they're always late.